Do you ever feel like talking about formula as a lactation care provider is challenging? And sometimes you walk away wondering if you said things the right way? Well, I've got some ideas to help you stay inspired and stay ready to talk about formula when someone's using it or asking about it. Welcome into Evolve Lactation. I'm Christine, and this is where current and aspiring lactation care providers find the inspiration, resources, and connection they need to thrive in their lactation practice. So a little bit about me before we start. I had babies before my lactation career, so I don't really have bias. If you're worried about me being biased toward or against anything, you need to know that I didn't do this work when I was having babies, when I was feeding babies. It started after that. So my babies had formula. My babies were breastfed. One of my babies was exclusively breastfed. Two of them were exclusively breastfed more than 2 years. One was breastfed, combo fed for about 4 months. So I have had a variety of infant feeding experiences, and I know all the influences that really played a part in that. So I know what it feels like to, you know, get information and get people's attitudes about how you're feeding your baby. I lived it, and I later on became an IBCLC. But in the meantime, it's just important to know where someone's coming from when they are starting out. So I want you to know that that's basically how I feel about it. I didn't have any feelings about it at the time beyond this is how I'm feeding my baby. And I just don't bring any of that that fear or that resentment or that regret to my experiences as a young mother who was feeding their babies, because that influence wasn't on me. No one pressured me in any way. No one caused me to feel guilty. No one told me things were going to be bad if I did it one way or the other. I was simply supported to be a mom. And that was a good experience for me because I never felt like one or the other was better for any reason that made me a better or worse person. It didn't affect my self-identity in any way. And I know that's not the case for a lot of people. So I think it's important to talk about that when I tell my story and when I talk about formula so that it's easier to see where I am coming from a neutral standpoint when it comes to it. In this talk, we're going to look at the definition of what infant formula is, how we talk to people about identifying their need to use it, exploring people's pre-existing ideas about formula, and answering the questions that they tend to bring to us about formula that we can actually have a great impact on with our lactation support superpowers. Now, you can't use your superpower, your breastfeeding support skills, if you can't get your clients to engage about breastfeeding with you. So if people aren't asking about it, they're not talking about it, we do need to bring up that conversation. So when we're talking to people who are pregnant, if we're talking to, say in a WIC office, your participants, if they're not asking about it, we do need to bring up that conversation. It does help a lot. We can learn so much from what people ask, what they tell us they know. And that's one of the coolest things I remember learning in one of the hospitals where I worked when we were on the baby-friendly journey. And we were exploring ways to accomplish the requirement of gathering data about how people intended to feed their babies before the baby was born. And what we learned was that if we ask them, are you planning to breastfeed or bottle feed or both? They would give you a one-word answer because it only requires one word. But if we ask them, what have you heard about breastfeeding? Then they were able to explain to us what they needed, actually. And if the answer, of course, was that they didn't need anything, then that was very clear. So we knew who we could help the most. We knew where we could focus our attention. and, you know, be able to support people by answering their questions and meeting their needs. And we also knew that we weren't going to be putting attention toward people who were very much decided that breastfeeding was not for them. So we really had a lot more opportunity and information about people when we asked the question in that way. And it became beyond just a data gathering exercise, but something that we could use as we moved forward. Let's think about the definition of formula. Formula is a substitute for human milk. In fact, the global term for infant formula is breast milk substitute. When we think about it that way, then it takes away that inclination that people have to equate them. You know, one is a substitute for the other. That doesn't make them equal. So we need to make sure that when we talk about formula, that's the way that we're using it. We're understanding that it's a substitute. It's another option that people have when they're not feeding their own milk or breastfeeding. So it's a substitute for human milk. It's not something that makes breastfeeding better. It doesn't make breastfeeding easier. It doesn't make babies healthier. And it's not something that every baby needs. It's a substitute when human milk is not available. One thing that we hear a lot are questions about what health workers can do to support breastfeeding without feeling as if they're pressuring people. Now, the World Health Organization put out several years ago a nice guideline on frequently asked questions about the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes. And these are the roles and responsibilities of health workers. And what they said was that health workers have a vital role to play in educating mothers and other caregivers about infant and young child feeding. It is also their moral, legal, and professional responsibility to protect, promote, and support optimal feeding. So that covers all health workers, everyone who has an influence over others in terms of health and wellness. Additionally, when one becomes an IBCLC, that is part of our scope of practice to protect, promote, and support the physiological norm, which is breastfeeding. So another question that they've addressed in these guidelines for health workers, people often think about the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes in terms of what it requires of companies which produce products. So what does it really have to do with somebody who is a health worker in any way, in any setting? And this is about avoiding the promotion of breast milk substitutes. So the code is directed at governments, health workers, baby food companies, and everyone who has a responsibility to protect, promote, and support breastfeeding. It says, as a health worker, part of your job is to inform and educate mothers and other caregivers about appropriate and optimal infant and young child feeding. Mothers should be supported to make informed and unbiased decisions free from any commercial influences by baby food companies. The code prohibits any type of promotion of breast milk substitutes in health services. It also has specific recommendations for health workers on how to avoid being influenced by baby food companies. So these are things that as health workers, we do need to watch out for and be aware that these things are out there. These companies do want to influence us as health workers so that we will in turn influence our clients and participants and patients. What we know is that breastfeeding is important. And most parents know this. Most of them want to breastfeed. Just look at the breastfeeding data that we have. Most want to, and most do start breastfeeding. So this is an important factor to consider here when we're talking about this concept of how people say that everyone is always pressuring new mothers to breastfeed. Well, actually, most parents are getting into having a baby knowing that breastfeeding is important and wanting to do it. So what our job is and what our role is here is to continue to educate them and encourage them and continue to remind them that breastfeeding is important and remains important. We can do this by providing them information that educates them about the process, like how milk production actually begins during pregnancy in around the third trimester, and that it's downregulated by progesterone levels in the body, and that the birth of the placenta is actually when the progesterone level drops, and this is what changes that colostrum, that milk that has been being produced since pregnancy, into more mature milk. That changeover that happens is gradual, and we can't say exactly the moment that it happens, but we do know that it begins somewhere between 30 and 60 hours postpartum. These are important facts to know about the initiation and the beginnings of breastfeeding and making milk so that people have the facts and they can understand the things that are happening to their bodies. We can help people to optimize their output of milk by ensuring frequent, thorough milk removal. Now, they can be doing this through frequent breastfeeding, they can use hand expression, and or they can use electric breast pumps or manual breast pumps. We can ensure that they make the most milk by ensuring that frequency of milk removal. This is a critical factor that if we skip it, then people can find themselves in a situation sometimes where other information is getting through to them that they shouldn't be doing it this much, they shouldn't be breastfeeding that often, or they shouldn't be pumping all the time, and they can end up with compromised milk production. So it's important we are always passing along the message that the frequency of milk removal is what helps to maintain their milk production at normal levels. We want to talk to them about the rhythm of that early routine of breastfeeding. That's early frequent feedings that lead to normal milk production. We want to minimize the interruptions and interference with that rhythm. We want them to understand that breastfeeding happens a lot. It happens frequently. And when it happens according to what the baby is communicating that they need, that is how normal milk production is supported. It's designed to synchronize with what the baby needs. So when the baby cues that they want to go to the breast, that means that they need to go to the breast. And the reason they need to go there is to signal the body to create more milk. Because milk is only being produced when milk is being taken out, when there's space for it. So once the breasts fill up in between feedings, milk production doesn't happen constantly 24/7. It only happens when there's space to keep it in there. So what happens is this synchronization occurs because the baby cues frequently to go to the breast. And as they're there, they take some out, the body makes more. And that constant communication between the baby and the body make sure that their body is making all the milk that the baby is asking for. When people use formula early, that can interrupt that feedback loop and it can result in less milk being made. So we want to ask ourselves here, who actually needs formula? It's an important question to ask. It's an important thing to think about. So a baby who is not being breastfed and a baby for whom no human milk is available would need formula. They need something else because they don't have access to human milk. So this would be a baby whose parent has decided not to breastfeed, who is not able to get donor human milk. So if the hospital or facility doesn't make that available, or if the parent chooses not to use donor human milk, then formula would be the next option. This is an important thing to remember. These are babies who need formula because human milk is not available to them. The early use of formula is very common in the hospitals, but it's not always necessary. So there's a lot of talk inside hospitals, and especially when hospitals are working on baby-friendly requirements about medical indications and reasons that babies might need formula. The reality is that when babies need more milk because they've shown us signs that they aren't getting enough, the first response for that situation is going to need to be hand expression to make more milk available to them. So when we teach people how to hand express and we help them hand express and facilitate that for them, it gets milk out for the baby. And it helps the mother and the parent avoid those thoughts of, I have no milk. It shows them that milk is there. But without hand expression, in those settings where hand expression is not commonly practiced, then what happens is there isn't any other option other than to use formula. It becomes the next choice. When early pumping doesn't yield any milk, which is often the case, formula becomes the next choice. And so there are effects of, you know, misunderstanding of how milk is produced. And there can be psychological effects of needing to use formula. Moms can feel as if they are not adequately taking care of their babies. And also, it can feel like formula is something that they'll always need to use after this, because that sense of not making enough milk can go on and on. It really can persist. So we want to simplify all the processes that are happening for babies in the hospital, especially. That means that whenever a problem is suspected or seen, that we have these first response kind of situations that are really very simple, very straightforward. Okay, looks like, you know, we haven't seen as many wet diapers or as many dirty diapers as we would hope. It looks like the baby might need some more milk than they're getting at the breast right now. So we'll work on getting a better latch, having better feedings, and we'll hand express some milk. Rather than the very worried anxiety of, oh no, the baby's not getting enough milk, we might have to give them formula. Those are two really, really different things for a new parent to experience. When babies are given formula early, it really can seem like it's the long-term feeding routine. And that sense of having to give it sometimes makes people feel as if they have to keep giving it. Using it as a solution to what is perceived as a problem can also make it look like the solution that will work forever. So anytime they have or perceive a problem, they may return to using that particular solution rather than understanding that there could be other solutions they could try. So when babies do need to use formula early on, it's important that we clearly explain the temporary nature of early formula feeding that's related to medical necessity. If it's determined that there is a medical necessity to use it, we want to ensure that parents understand this is temporary. This is what we're going to do, you know, with their as part of their informed decision making. This is what we suggest to do. And this is how long it will be used. And this is how we will know that we don't need to use it anymore. And for us as lactation care providers in a hospital setting, we are not the ones who generally are telling people that they need to use formula. A lot of times that's coming from a different provider. Our role is to help parents navigate that process by ensuring they understand that it's temporary, all the details about how to do it, and again, understanding that landmark of when they no longer need to do it. Same thing if they've already been discharged and they're in the home setting, and now a pediatrician or other physician has recommended that they need to use formula. We want to ensure they have all the details, they know what they're looking for, and they know what will be the sign that they don't need to do it anymore. We also want families to understand when they're talking about formula that they have options. Combinations of how babies are fed also work. So babies can be breastfed and also fed expressed milk. Babies can be breastfed and formula fed. Babies can be fed expressed milk and formula. There's tons of options for how this works. And we're encouraging that breastfeeding is, you know, we're facilitating that they can breastfeed so that they have all of these options. Because if we don't provide lactation education and support from the beginning, then what ends up happening is that the first two things you see on the screen, the breastfeeding part and the expressed milk part, those options go away, and the only option that they then have is using formula. So we want to make sure that people have as many options as they can, and that they understand that combinations of those options are also possible, and they're also common. Many people combine these things to make it fit into their lives. So our goal as lactation care providers and as health workers is to educate about and to support breastfeeding through encouragement, through instilling hope and possibility, and constantly giving that information, whatever they need in that moment to understand and to know about how to make breastfeeding work and how breastfeeding can continue when they are making additional choices like expressing milk and using formula. So we want to continue helping them to understand those possibilities are there. So how do we talk about breastfeeding when people are asking us about formula? Here are some ideas. We can start here. Let's think about why are they asking? We might ask them, what's making you, think about that right now? We've been working on breastfeeding and now you've asked about formula. So can I ask what is making you feel like that might be our next, your next step? So that they have the opportunity to tell you their story. They need to tell you more about their story because there is a story there that probably goes beyond, I think I need to use formula now. There may be a story that goes beyond that that has to do with something like a baby in their life that they loved, maybe theirs, maybe their niece or nephew, maybe someone that they knew who had some issues in the beginning with breastfeeding that no one picked up on, and eventually they needed formula, but it was very worrisome, and maybe they're worried that that's going to happen to their baby. Or maybe they're asking because they have already decided that at some point in the earliest weeks and months of this baby's life, they are going to use formula because of, going to school or going to work or something else that's going to change, and they know they're going to use it, so they're asking, do I just start using it now? There's so many reasons that people ask about formula. So what we want to do is ask them about, why this is coming into the conversation right now, how so that you know exactly how you can help them. And then make sure that they take any focus or like self-blame that they're doing, take that away for them. So that if they're thinking they need to use formula because they did something wrong or didn't do something or because something is wrong with them or anything like that, we can help mitigate that by explaining what is going on with them and their baby that might be, leading them to feel that way and helping them to understand that it isn't only about them. It's also about their baby, what's going on with their baby, any needs that the baby might have, so that they do understand that this is within their control. That is what we always want people to walk away with, understanding that the choice to use formula was theirs. They had options, and this was the option that they chose, and they got all the information that they needed about how to do that so that they felt like it was a viable option for them. So if somebody asks, should I use formula? Now, your response is going to be different depending on the situation, but here's a little framework for how you can help them. No matter how old the baby is, no matter what setting you're in, if you're working with somebody who hasn't used formula yet and they're asking, well, do you think that I should? The important thing to do is to assess the situation to see whether they need to. Whether that's in your own mind without saying it out loud or doing a full evaluation as an IBCLC, if it's in your scope of practice, making sure you do that full assessment that helps you to determine if this is a situation where the baby does probably need some formula. And then ask them about, again, why are they thinking this? What is leading them to feel as if the baby might need formula now? Because they may have insights that you don't. They may know something that you don't know. Well, they definitely know something that you don't know. But it's an important thing to do to allow them to give you all of that input that they're using since they're inviting you into their decision. And then you can also remind them that formula is a substitute for when human milk is not available. And I say this because it's very common for people to not necessarily put together that when they are pumping milk or expressing milk and putting it in their freezer, they wouldn't need to use formula unless that freezer was empty. We often speak to people who are building a freezer stash of expressed milk, but are using formula today. And these are the kind of things that it's just really important for us to be very explicit when we talk about what to feed baby now and what to do with milk that's being expressed. This happens sometimes in the hospital as well. Occasionally, there'll be a time where a patient is taught how to hand express, and then later on, someone finds that they hand expressed colostrum and it's on their bedside table, but they fed the baby formula and they didn't ever feed that colostrum to the baby. Those are opportunities to provide information, to find out how did that unfold and did we miss a piece of information that needed to be passed along. So, you know, that taking that opportunity to remind them that if they have human milk available to them, they wouldn't need to use formula because, again, it doesn't make babies healthier. It doesn't make breastfeeding better. It doesn't need to be used unless human milk is not available. So if they have human milk available for their baby, or they could breastfeed more or better, they wouldn't necessarily have to feel as if they needed to use formula. So another situation could be where someone is coming to you for help or information because they say, my doctor said I should use it. So it's really important for us to start by asking, why did the doctor recommend this? Is there a specific problem that they're trying to resolve? Could be the baby hasn't gained weight. It could be the baby has jaundice. It could be that the doctor is worried about their long-term growth rate. There could be a variety of reasons. It's very important to know what that insight is that's coming into the situation and to listen for what the parent is able to explain to you about it. Because if they're not really able to provide you that information, and if it feels like it was a vague recommendation, they may need to be encouraged to go back to that doctor and have another conversation, give them a call and say, wait, I know you said this, but I didn't really get all the information. They may be feeling like they didn't get an explanation that was helpful, and that's why they're questioning it. It gives us the opportunity to address their concerns and meet those information gaps. And then if they determine that they are going to go ahead and do it, they do want to, it's very important that the doctor's insight was, you know, really crucial to them. We can continue again to remind them that this is a temporary tool and they don't need to feel as if something went wrong or something went off the rails. They simply need to know they're using a tool right now to fix the specific problem that now they can explain and look for that landmark time of when they wouldn't need to use it anymore. So all of that is just way more information than a lot of people start out that conversation with. So by being able to fill in all those gaps, we're giving them a large gift. No matter what decision they make about using the formula, we are giving them a huge gift in helping them to understand the decision they're making a lot better. Some people may come to us and say, my friend said I should use formula. One place to start with this particular conversation is to validate what that friend, or it could be their family member or coworker, validate that that person cares about them. They're concerned about them. They're concerned about the baby. They're concerned about them doing well for any number of reasons. That's an important thing. They have somebody in their life that cares enough to say, I'm worried about you, or I'm worried about your baby, and I want you to be okay. And that's why I think that you should do this. Now, they don't always use all those words, but the very fact that somebody gave them that information, gave them that advice, probably means that they have some sort of stake and some sort of interest in what's going on. So then we can ask them, how do they feel about that? Do they feel supported by that advice? Do they feel insulted by that advice? Do they feel like they want to follow it, or they feel pressured to follow it? Think about, you know, the experience that they're having getting that recommendation from somebody. And then again, help them assess, does the baby need it? Would it be a good idea? And if they're choosing to use it, what do they need to know about using formula? Do they need to know how to prepare it safely? Are they actually not currently expressing milk, but could be, and could choose that option instead of using formula? They could go from exclusively breastfeeding to also expressing milk and sometimes feeding that. So looking for those gaps of what they aren't hearing, what they aren't seeing, to help them, again, see all those options that are laid out in front of them. And some people will come to you and say, I'm supposed to be using formula, the doctor said, or this, you know, is part of our plan, but I really don't want to. And again, we want to review the need and the reason it was advised. Where did that information come from? What are the insights that we need about the situation that are going to help us help this person make their decision? Discuss the relative risks with them. Why are they concerned about using it? What makes them reluctant to use the formula? What is holding them back? Because they may have some misunderstandings about formula that make it seem bad or worse or like a big problem, when in fact those are not true for them, or it would be a minor or small amount of use that they don't need for a really long time. We've got to find out what they know and what they believe to help them be able to make a strong personal choice about this. Reminding them that it can be a temporary tool in some situations. And then again, reminding them about that option for expressing their own milk. Making sure that they know how to do that and that they've brought that to the table as part of the options if they're, say, working with a doctor or working even with their partner. Maybe it's their partner who is insisting. Maybe it's the primary caregiver who's helping to take care of the baby when they're not around, the secondary caregiver, actually, if they're going to work or school, and they really don't want to, but they haven't explored the concept of perhaps expressing their milk and feeding that when they're away. Giving them that opportunity, reminding them explicitly of all those options that they actually have. And then when somebody asks, but can I do both? Well, let's explore, let's validate, why are they asking if they can, right? Because if they were confident about it, they wouldn't be asking, right? They would just do it. Obviously, something's holding them back from simply moving into a combination feeding type of routine. So what's concerning them about doing both? Very likely what's concerning them is that they're not exactly sure how to navigate that change. So thinking about how to ask them the questions, what do they need to know? Why are they thinking about doing it? So how are they going to work that into their life? Is it going to be a situation where when they're with the baby, they plan to breastfeed, but when they're at school, they'll be pumping? Or when they're with the baby, they'll breastfeed, but during the night, they're giving bottles. There, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people use combination feeding or doing both. What does that actually mean to them? Then we help to fill in those gaps about how each of those options work and how to create a practical routine that will help them do it. They may not realize that they can express more milk than they're expressing right now. They may not realize that they can pump one side while they breastfeed and then have extra expressed milk without a whole lot of extra effort. They may not know facts about preparing formula, like that they can prepare formula before they go to bed for the nighttime and put it in the refrigerator. Like there's so many little pieces and things that can make it hard when it doesn't have to be. You know, we can provide that information. And reminding them things like some breastfeeding always matters. It's always important. There's no time where it doesn't matter anymore. So we can remind them of those things that help, again, that decision to feel better. Sometimes people may take the information you give and say, I still don't want to do both. And sometimes they may take the information you give and say, wow, that sounds easier than I thought it would be. I can do this now, you know, and that feels like the best way for me to go forward. Sometimes people will say, I tried pumping already and I have no milk. Or I tried pumping already and it didn't work. This is one of those situations where we have tons of opportunity to intervene and make it better. Because we will need to know a lot of facts to help them understand if they actually had a pumping experience that had a chance of working, right? Was it with a quality pump? Did they have the right instructions and information about how to do it? Were they encouraged or did they know to use a consistent routine of expressing milk? Were they expecting a realistic amount of milk to come out? All of those things give us opportunities to explain to them that they may have tried pumping, but no one taught them how to do it. So no one expects people to just figure out how to pump, except for the people who are doing it. And then they put blame on themselves for not understanding how to do something they've literally never done before. So we have tons of opportunity here to intervene for people and help them to see, understand ways that they can possibly make pumping work for them. They may have had the wrong pump. They may need to try using a manual pump first. They may need, you know, depending on the timing. There's lots and lots of ways that we can intervene with information about expressing milk that can make this decision feel easier for them. So our simple steps for talking to people about using formula: validating and reassuring them that what they are currently doing is working and all the options that they have. Why are they asking about formula? Exploring that with them. From where is that recommendation coming from, if it's a recommendation versus something that they're feeling? And recognizing their needs. What are they actually looking for in this situation by coming to you? Assessing, you know, within your scope, assessing their situation for the need for formula, and of course, referring them to someone else if it's not in your scope or if you suspect there are some red flags and they do need further evaluation. Working together with them to determine whether formula is necessary or something that they might choose because they want to. And reminding them that formula is temporary, which helps to avoid them continuing it unnecessarily and may serve as a way to help bridge a temporary problem. So these simple steps again: validating and reassuring them, assessing for need in their situation, and reminding them that formula can be a temporary tool if they choose that. With our lactation support knowledge and skills, we have the power to reduce exclusive formula feeding in families where that is not what they really intended to do or want to do or can afford to do. We have the power to reduce early formula feeding because we know that much early formula feeding is not actually medically necessary. And we have the power to reduce any formula feeding in some families. In some families where they come to us at, you know, the right inflection point, we may have the opportunity to give them information that leads them to not make that decision at all and be able to provide only their milk to their baby. So if this spoke to you, I would love for you to join my community over on Instagram, where you can find more ideas, mindset shifts, and links that will help you thrive and become a more resilient lactation care provider. If you've got feedback, I would love to hear from you. My email is christine@evolvelactation.org, and I am on Instagram as IBCLC in CA. Till next time, friends.